You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So if I may double up on Dana's Run, Do Not Walk, we binged this over the long holiday weekend, and I believe it's on Netflix, America's Team. It is the story about the 1990s Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
That went on to win three Super Bowls. It's kind of like The Kingdom, except The Kingdom only because Patrick Mahomes was one of the producers.
Yeah.
It's a happy-go-lucky, you know, how great this team is, how great the characters are, Mahomes, Kelsey, Jones, everybody else. This one is clearly not produced by anybody who was on that team in the 90s because they pull the scabs off.
Behind the scenes with Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones and all that.
And Barry Switzer and Michael Irvin and his cocaine problems where he would show up at hotels and there were mountains of cocaine waiting for him and the women.
How many episodes?
I want to say, I'd have to look. It was more than I expected because every time one ended, I was like, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then there was another one right after it.
So a handful.
It's more than a handful.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I love myself a good sports documentary. I will watch any and all.
And it is really, really good. 8 episodes.
Wow.
Yep.
You committed.
Oh, yeah, we did.
8?
Yep. Watched most of them yesterday. I think we have like 1 or 2 more to go. But yeah, it looks at all the on-the-field problems, off-the-field problems, the firing. I did not know that Jerry Jones was a college, and I probably did, but had forgotten, was a college roommate, or not roommate, but teammate of Jimmy Johnson. They played at Arkansas together.
Really?
Mm-hmm. One of them was number 60, the other was 61. And then Barry Switzer was their coach at Arkansas.
Wow.
I just remember them coming here years ago at Union Station. I'm trying to remember why, and I can't. As a reporter, I had to cover it. And one of them walked in, and I'm pretty sure it was Barry Switzer. I'm pretty sure. It was one of the three. All I remember, and anyone there will tell you the exact same thing, they were wearing a floor-length Mac Daddy fur coat.
You sure that wasn't Michael Irvin?
It was no. This was either Switzer or it was not Jimmy Johnson. It was either Switzer or
Jerry Jones.
Floor length. And I also think it was like June. Just literally looked like something out of a movie.
Right.
Like you can't be seriously walking around wearing that, but he was. That's all I remember about it. Okay. I don't even know why they were here.
It is fascinating. They have contemporary interviews with Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith.
That's cool.
All the big names on that team. I did not know that Troy Aikman and Barry Switzer hated each other so much, they refused to talk to each other. The coach and the quarterback.
That didn't work out well.
Would not talk to each other. Well, they won a Super Bowl.
Wait, did you say Switzer was Jerry Jones's coach?
He was like a positions coach on the Arkansas team.
He was a young positions coach.
Yes, he was.
Wow.
He wasn't the head coach. He was a positions coach.
I was trying to figure out how he was still alive if he was head coach when
he was just young.
Jones was playing, yeah. He was only 4 years older than the players.
No, but it's called America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys.
And by the way, Dana's Run, Do Not Walk from the last segment, Fantastic Land. It is a book, but it is a sob or sab.
It is a short ass book that I cannot put down. Like, tonight, Johnny was like, what do we have going on tonight? And I go, no. There's nothing going on tonight. I am coming home and I'm finishing this book.
Wait. You just sat and read a book while your boyfriend was home?
I cannot. Tonight.
Oh.
Like, we have no plans and I've got maybe 5 chapters left.
It's her person.
Be a movie. Write it down. It's going to be a movie.
How exciting for Johnny
tonight.
Not
looking to make this a topic per se, but we have a man in the stack today who loves America.
Don't we all?
Apparently loves women, and apparently loves being married to a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah.
A North Carolina, we have not had a good old bigamy story in the stack in a while, but today we do. A North Carolina man now faces bigamy charges for having 3 wives, and police say, quote, there may be more. Have you seen his photo?
No. That guy got three women
that
to marry him?
That is the guy. Oh, okay. He's wearing a shirt in his mugshot that says, stand for the flag. Because he loves America. A man in North Carolina is accused of having three wives at the same time, and police say there could be more. According to a Facebook post from the Davidson County Sheriff's Office Criminal Investigations Division, the agency initiated an investigation involving bigamy a couple of months ago after a report was filed. And throughout the investigation, detectives found Harry Irvine Burdick Jr. to have three marriage licenses with three different women. You might be thinking, look, maybe that's just the way they swing. No. None of the women knew about each other.
Oh.
All three marriages took place in North Carolina, but in far different counties.
But how do you pull that off?
This guy's a superhero. What?
That's what they're trying to figure out. He was charged this week with two counts of felony bigamy, because you'd have to pick one that would be legitimate, right? If you have three wives, the first one, I think, theoretically is legal.
I think legally it's the first one.
Okay.
Right?
If it's two additional, wouldn't that be polygamy? This whole bigamy term keeps throwing me off.
Well, bigamy is a legal term because they are saying
getting married while already having an active marriage certificate in that state.
They are saying he did this for, quote, personal and financial gain.
I'm sure there was personal gain.
Then listen to the last sentence of this story. If you or someone you know has been legally married to Mr. Burdick, please contact detectives. And then they gives the phone number.
Well, what? Let me ask you this.
If you or someone you know has been married to this man, we want to hear from you.
Let me ask you this. Why is bigamy or polygamy, whichever, why is that a crime?
If you and three other consenting adults are all living in the same town with the same goals, mm-hmm. and, you know, we can have that conversation. The way I read this is he went to, let's say, Shawnee County, found himself a wife there,
okay.
then went to Lyons County, found himself a wife there, and then skipped over to maybe Jackson. Far enough apart that the women might not learn about one another if he's not on Facebook. And they're saying financial gain. So I don't know if that's...
But criminal? I'm kind of with Scott on this one. Well, morally reprehensible? Yes.
No question there. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, it comes down to the contract and laws and fraud and legal confusion.
And taxes, Scott.
Taxes.
Do you get three separate tax credits?
All that stuff.
Well, you don't get a tax credit for being married. It's actually a penalty.
But if you're on each home, would I don't know how it works. I don't know how one would marry a bunch of people for financial gain, but that's what they're alleging
and
he did.
The web of lies that you would have to create.
Oh, God.
You know, if I'm going to be with wife number one, right, then I have to figure out a web of lies to tell wife number two and wife number three why I'm not going to be home tonight.
And then, for a week.
Right. And then with wife number two, okay, I'm going to go stay with her for a while now. And then I've got to figure out what to tell wife number one and wife number three.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
I mean, most guys can't keep up with one.
Don't you think, honestly, true. That he would have to be a traveling salesman? You would have to have some job.
Or businessman who is frequently in flight, yes. And you would, and no one can get you on Life 360.
Never.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Sam, we have a motion detected at the bird feeder at Casa de Dana.
I have a new bird friend. Appears to be a cardinal. It's good luck.
Hey, buddy. Is it criminal to go over to a coworker's house and steal the batteries or battery pack or whatever it could be out of an automatic bird feeder camera?
I believe that is perfectly legal.
Okay.
Frowned upon.
Perfect.
I have a backup generator hooked to that thing,
Sam. The damn phone.
Won't be denied.
The damn phone in here will not stop vibrating.
I know.
And she goes, oh, I've got a new friend.
First we had the blue every time somebody walked past your front door. Now every time a bird flies by.
Which, by the way, during the break, we found one more story about Mr. Burdick, the serial marrier guy.
We were trying to figure out how you could pull that off. Text line has a great point. And also based on the mugshot.
Yep.
Truck driver.
Truck driver.
Yep.
truck driver. Here's real quick what police are saying. In one, I had to look and look and look and look and look.
Okay.
In one of the stories, they're saying he was a grifter. He was a long con where he would meet a woman, woo her, get married, wipe her out financially, get everything titled over into his name, get the life insurance, get whatever it was, get the home in his name, you know, get on the bank accounts. And then right as she was like, wait, what? What? Right as he thought his gig was up, he would go marry another one.
Okay. And that's fine. If there is fraud going on where he is exploiting these women, then fine. Charge him with whatever you want.
Yep.
What I don't understand and never will, and listen, I don't ever want to get married again, period, much less marry three women at the same time. However, I don't understand why being married to more than one person, while I think it's unethical, should be illegal. From the text line, a marriage is nothing more than a civil contract between consenting adults.
Sanctioned by the state. You're right.
That's what marriage is. So in reality, there isn't any reason that three people, maybe four people, cannot enter into that marriage contract together, provided they are all consenting.
Provided they all know.
Now, the reason it was illegal initially was because religion played a heavy role in how we crafted our laws. But in the year of our Lord, 2025.
Well, no. Whose religion, Sam?
A Protestant.
Hundreds of years ago, he's saying.
Two religions when marriage was codified into law.
Okay. Yeah.
But can we not, do we not rewrite laws?
Well, that's the point that I'm, the exact point that I'm making. In the year of our Lord, 2025, there are many people that do not practice those religions. So if they want to have more than one.
Who cares?
Oh my gosh. You guys, he's on Facebook. He has 15 friends. He is on Facebook.
Three of them are his wives.
And he's something.
Okay. It's not for me. But if it's for him, now, and again, I go back and I'll repeat myself. If he's exploiting these women for financial gain. Now, keep in mind, the original story said for personal and financial gain.
Yes. What would be the personal gain? property. Honestly.
No, that would be financial.
I think he was wooing lonely. I don't think it's that, Sam. I think he was wooing lonely.
Clearly.
Probably lonely women or widows is my guess.
And that's fine. But what I'm saying is the personal gain was the relationship. If it's property, if it's money, those are all financial things.
And it clearly sounds like he was stealing from these women.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you this. On Facebook, he's friends with a lot of older women who look lonely.
A lot? You mean 15?
Yeah.
Oh, are you saying that's his marketing page?
I just think that this was his marketing page.
Hey, I'm lonely and looking for a wife.
I do.
I mean, if he's only got 15 friends.
How many zeros at the end of that 401k?
Yeah. I think that's what he was doing.
Well, wouldn't that be one of the benefits? Why does one get married?
Love.
Okay. For sure. Absolutely.
Why did it take you so long to answer that?
She still hasn't.
I've noticed.
He's got two separate Facebook profiles, and I just found the separate one, the second one.
Uh-huh.
And he just writes, he grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, and then writes, hello to all of his friends. Look at this. I bet he has three Facebook pages for three different women.
I bet that's not even his Facebook page.
Man, I don't know.
Look at the picture. How many pictures of him are there? Because the banner picture is the same as the profile picture. I bet there are no pictures.
You might be right, and there's no comments. There's no
posts.
Activity over the last couple of years.
That's something somebody put up.
So you asked, why do people get married? I companionship, love.
Okay. Absolutely.
Love first.
Okay. Clearly.
Yeah.
It is a sign of a commitment.
Yes.
We're taking this from stage two. We're going to stage
three.
That's
right.
But there is a financial security component with being married, is there not?
Sam's talked about this. It is much more expensive to be a single American than a married American.
But with being a married American, there's no question, you know, you could be dating somebody and they can will you their 401k or their savings or whatever.
I suppose.
But if you're married, it all but automatically goes to the surviving spouse.
Yes.
All right. So what's wrong with that? If he's marrying these women
because
for financial security, that's part of being married.
Right. But if you asked Marge if she knew about Ethel, and if you asked Ethel if she knew about Pam, the answer was no.
Probably
not. Then you've got fraud. Right? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm still stuck on the morally reprehensible yes. Should it still be illegal? I have no idea.
It is unethical, in my opinion. But I think we've moved on into a world where who cares how many people you're married to?
Ugh.
Who cares?
You've always said, as long as you're not hurting anyone else. And I think that certainly was the case here. He was hurting somebody else. Or you wouldn't jump county to county to county and keep a woman.
Do we know that the women didn't know about each other?
Yes.
Does it say that?
It is my understanding the women did not know about each other.
Okay.
Or he told them he was long divorced. I just don't understand how you keep up the shell game.
That would be the hardest part.
It was kind of a joke, but I'll repeat myself. Most men struggle to keep one happy. It's just the reality of the situation. You got three on different corners of the state.
I mean, what happens when, let's say he is, we don't know this, but let's say he is a truck driver, right? And he's not in Jackson County tonight,
right,
or Lyons County, but he's in whatever other county you said, Wabunsee or whatever. Don't most people, when they're out of town, check in with their spouse every night before they go
yes.
to bed? And so he would have to excuse himself from whatever house he was in
yes.
no fewer than two times every night to say goodnight
to, check in.
To one of the other wives.
Oh, work's calling. I got to step outside.
Yeah.
Oh, work again? It's 8:30. Come on. I'll step outside.
To borrow your phrase, Dana, the shell game would be impossible. And why would you want to?
Because he thinks there is a fat 401k at the end of all three of those rainbows.
That's if you outlive them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a gamble in and of itself.
Not if he was wooing women who were in their 90s. We don't know how old these women were.
Mm. Maybe.
You know, I did not have polygamy on my bingo card of topics today.
I know. And here we are.
Certainly not a full segment.
God.
Well, I just find it fascinating. And you know, I've long said on this show, and Dana alluded to it a minute ago, it's my opinion regarding your personal life, Sam, as long as you're not hurting me or somebody that I care about, I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
You know, don't break the law.
Yeah.
And again, I think the law should be changed in this regard so that it is not illegal or so that it is legal. Sorry, double negative. But if you're not hurting me and you're not hurting my kids, you're not hurting T or my mom or my brother, if it's your personal life, I couldn't care less. Do what makes you happy.
What about the fellow women who are hurt by not knowing?
Well,
and he's got two other wives.
That's different because it's fraud. I think he's saying as long as everyone is consenting, everybody knows that this is what we're doing, then there's no problem with it.
Now, if there is a fraud component, obviously he needs to be charged. But if he's just married to three women because he wants to be married to three women, breaking someone's heart is not against the law.
True.
And it happens every single day in America.
Is adultery still against the law?
No. No. But it'll get you kicked out of the military.
Mind your house.
If there's a scandal.
In the military?
Yes.
Adultery will basically get you kicked out of the military, especially if you're an officer.
Really?
Oh, yeah. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Story here from the USA Today. A Texas man has been charged with murder days after an 11-year-old boy was killed during an apparent doorbell ringing prank. Ding dong ditch. Who didn't do that when we were kids, right? We've all done it. The Houston Police Department announcing that Leon Gonzalo Jr., 42, was arrested in connection with the fatal shooting of Julian Guzman, according to a press release. Homicide detectives with the department said in a statement that the boy was running from a house after ringing the doorbell before he was shot right before 11 p.m. on August 30th. That would have been Saturday night. The boy died on Sunday. Quoting here from Sergeant Michael Cass with the Houston Police Department, a witness said someone ran out of that house and was shooting at the kid as he was running down the street.
My God.
And unfortunately, sadly enough, one of the boys, who was 11 years old, was shot in the back.
You know, we talk about these stories with not just the ding-dong ditching, Scott, because they are doing this for social media clicks, but also the I'm going to fake kick the door in challenge. Mm-hmm. And we have said for months on this program, someone is going to be shot and killed.
And sadly, and here that's we are. Not happened. Yep. Yep.
Here we are. The 42-year-old will be charged.
He'll go to prison for the rest of his life.
Go to prison. You can't just open your gun down the street at a fleeing 11-year-old.
What happened to society?
I don't know. Sam, I don't know.
Ding-dong ditched probably hundreds of times. Too many.
Hundreds?
Yeah, it was a pretty regular activity of ours.
Wow.
And I got chased too many times.
You did get chased?
Oh, yeah. Now, we were fast, so we never got caught. But there were a couple times that we got chased for multiple blocks and actually were afraid for our safety.
To what end? I mean, if my doorbell rang at 11 o'clock, I might look outside to see who it is. I would never open the door at 11 o'clock at night.
But what happened in society where now the first reaction is, oh, my doorbell is ringing. Somebody must be here to harm me. We saw it in our own town. So I better grab my gun so that I can defend myself. And Scott, I know that you would never open fire on an 11-year-old, but you've talked about how when your doorbell rings, you hit the deck.
You
go into G.I. Joe mode.
I don't go grab my gun.
Of course not.
You sort of assume that whoever is there shouldn't be there.
But when did that change? Because in the 80s, the doorbell rings, and I'm not even from the 80s.
Is your refrigerator running?
Yeah, you better go catch it.
Based on what I know about it, the doorbell rings. Sanka? To borrow a Sebastian Maniscalco joke.
But, right.
What happened?
This was not a man who went to go get his gun to defend himself. This is a man who went out seeking retribution for somebody ringing his doorbell at 11 o'clock at night.
Okay, but listen to two competing neighbors' comments with KHOU down in Houston. One neighbor who didn't want to be identified said, quote, kids are just being kids.
Yeah.
I feel like we've all played these ding-dong ditch games.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by this neighbor who said, quote, you just don't go knocking on people's doors.
And where did that sentiment come from? That's my question.
And when did it change? Is, I think, your other question. And I would say it changed in the last 10 to 12 years. And where does that sentiment come from? I think we've always lived in a very violent society, at least in my lifetime. But now you're not a punk kid goofing on my door doing ding-dong ditch. You're my enemy.
And the law is clear on this. Not that it matters. But the shots that were fired that killed this child were from a significant distance.
Yes, the kid was running down the street.
Police are saying this is not any type of self-defense. This wasn't anywhere near the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ask Ralph Yarrell.
It just makes
how this
me
all
sad.
Worked out for him.
I mean, I we were going to the grocery store over the weekend, and Mary Beth looked at me and was like, should we close the windows? I was like, we're going to be gone for 9 minutes. Well, somebody might break in.
Windows to the house?
In 9 minutes? Yeah, it was beautiful outside.
Sam, I'm telling you, we don't mess around with stuff like that. We just don't. And part of the problem is we've been in this business too long, Scott. So my first thought with the window open is, yes, that somebody would crawl in. I mean, you just don't take the chance.
Like, there's a greater psychological shift here, and TV might be part of it. Text Line's mentioning how TV and the way that we cover things has played into it. That it's just all fear all the time. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's because we turn on our local news and the top
But Sam,
15 stories or shootings.
But it's always been like that. I remember 20 years ago when I was the news director at this radio station, I did a little informal survey of one of the local TV channels, and it was a weekend. I'll never forget. It was either a Saturday or a Sunday, and I wrote down their lead stories. Story number one was about this. Story number two was about this. Three, blah, 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 blah. The first, I think, 11 or 12 stories were all doom and gloom, including one story I remember was a vacant house fire. And I've always wondered, why does the news media, and it's because of the pictures that they can put on TV, but why does the news television media report on a vacant house fire? It affects no one except the people on either side of that house.
Yeah.
Nobody lost their house. Nobody got hurt, thank God. But why do we report on these? Because there's nothing else going on, and we have pictures of a house on fire. But the idea that, you know, it's all doom and gloom, and that somehow, you know, warped our mentality and driven us to shoot at 11-year-old kids in the back while they're running away from our house. If that was the case, we would have been doing this 20 years ago. It's always been, if it bleeds, it leads.
I'll tell you this, what his defense attorney is going to say. I'm just going to tell you right now how this is going to play out. It's not going to win in court. It was 11 p.m. when this happened.
Yep.
And he's going to say, I couldn't tell if they were children. I thought someone had come to rob me, and it was late at night, and I was here by myself. I mean,
but you could tell they were running away.
You heard the nut that shot Ralph Jarl through the door.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I didn't, you know, mm-hmm. No.
913-586-7798. Curtis in Olathe. Curtis, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well.
I was kind of puzzled by the comments that are being made by you guys. I understand the severity of the individual stepping out of the stand your ground situation. But in all honesty, you guys made comments about people scared that the doors, you know, someone's at their door at such and such a time, be it dark or daytime, being armed with a gun, possibly. I guess you guys forgot about the home invasion where they gain access by getting somebody to the door. And they crack the door open, even though they've got a chain guard on it, some kind of device, a panic alarm, and yet they're still gaining access in there and tying them. It happens all around the metro, and it still goes on.
Hey, Curtis, though, and I know you know this, if you read anything about numbers in this regard about public safety, the overwhelming majority of burglaries, almost every damned one of them, if you do not live a high-risk lifestyle, the overwhelming number of burglaries happen during the day.
Mm-hmm. When you're not home. And they know you're not home.
The bad people coming in to steal electronics to sell them for drugs do not want to come into your home at 11 p.m. when you're home.
Because chances are you've got a gun.
Chances are you have a gun, and chances are you're home. The burglar coming door-to-door to try to get in to steal stuff for a quick turnaround— those cases happen in broad daylight during the day when no one is home.
And I want to be clear, I don't G.I. Joe myself at home because I'm afraid. I G.I. Joe myself at home because I don't want you to know that I'm there, because I don't want to answer the door and tell you no.
I was just using that sentiment as an example because you've talked about it before. And Curtis, we're in the news business. If somebody was getting tied up and robbed blind, we would know that it happened.
We would know it. And do, unfortunately.
Yeah. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. He is charged with, is it first degree? Do we know? It just says charged with murder.
That I don't know.
By the way, in another ding-dong ditch prank, a Virginia 18-year-old, you'll recall this, Dana, was shot and killed in May. That homeowner was charged with crimes including second-degree murder. Another teen was injured in that shooting.
The child who died in this case lived about a block from the home.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on KMBZ. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Let's go to Mike in Topeka. Mike, hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man. What's up?
So for those who don't know, I am very pro 2A. I'm a concealed carrier. And I've been studying self-defense law and the use of lethal force for many years now. And I can tell you this much for sure. In order to legally use lethal force in a self-defense encounter, you must be able to clearly articulate a reasonable fear of great bodily harm or death. If you don't act now, something bad is going to happen to you. And so
Or to someone else.
Right, or to someone else. If you don't act, bad things are going to happen. And so if someone is at your doorstep, I don't care if they're 2 years old or 92 years old, if you are unable to clearly articulate that they are an imminent threat of great bodily harm or death to you or others, then you cannot use lethal force. And a child running away that you have to chase down and then shoot them in the back is not an imminent threat of great bodily harm or death to you or others. It's just not.
Which is why, Mike, this guy is probably going to prison for the rest of his life. And should.
Absolutely.
And should.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, and this is completely different from those cases of where they ring out the doorbell and they're beaten and pounded and trying to break the door in. That is a completely different thing. This is not that.
Yeah.
This is just someone ringing your doorbell and running away. That is not a threat in any way, shape, or form. And this guy has zero leg to stand on and as a defense. And I think he's... Go ahead.
And I was just going to say, I was thinking about that earlier this morning, having read this story. I thought, you know, if this was different, not, you know, a ding-dong dash, but somebody's, you know, doing this stupid TikTok challenge that's going around right now where they're trying to kick down your door. I honestly think I would probably, I don't know that I would shoot through the door, but I would shoot my gun off so they know somebody is right inside the door with a gun.
See, now what I
the problem with that is what comes up has to come down.
Well, not if you shoot into your floor.
What I would recommend for something like that is you call 911 and you yell at the people through the door. Hey, I'm on 911 on the phone with 911. They know I have a gun. I have a gun. If you break through my door, I will shoot you, because that barrier between you and them is that last line of defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hold off and you wait, and if they break through that door, then you go ahead and discharge your firearm. But until then, you give audible warnings and you be on the phone with 911 and make sure that they know you have a gun and that the people kicking your door know you have a gun.
Right.
And then it becomes that act of absolute last resort.
Mike, good to hear your voice again, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Bye. All right, be well. There was no Powerball winner over the weekend.
Okay. Stop telling me I haven't won $1 billion.
Well, but you are now in line to potentially win $1.3 billion.
I may go buy a ticket.
I might, again.
I call it the stupid man's tax. I might be a stupid man this evening.
10 tickets matched all 5 white balls, so there were 5 $1 million prizes sold in California, nowhere near here. Wednesday's jackpot now is the 5th largest in Powerball history, $1.3 billion.
I will tell you this. If one person wins that thing, I will not be okay with that. That is too much money.
Why wouldn't you celebrate in their
No,
great
it
fortune?
Needs to be multiple winners. Do you guys want to pool
anyone,
and go in together?
But there would be signs.
Okay, like what?
Like he wouldn't be here.
Like a brand new Tacoma.
A brand new truck?
That's right. No, I'd still be here. I love what I do.
You wait a minute. If you won $1.3 billion, you would still show up for work?
Yes, I would. I'd still live in the same house. The only thing, I'd have a new truck and, you know, live a little more freely.
Then what's the
Sam,
point of winning?
Then what's the point of having the $1 billion?
So that when I do decide to retire in
2 years,
5 years, I could live the rest of my life happy and rich, you know? Man. I still have to have purpose.
Sam,
money's not the purpose.
But Sam, I understand. I love what I do for a living. The three of us are blessed. If I won $1.3 billion, there is no chance in hell that I'm sitting in this seat tomorrow.
Now, I would adopt a Dana Wright vacation plan immediately. We're going to Aruba, Jamaica.
Ooh, I want to take you.
That's right.
Okay. Was that necessary?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Now
okay, when can we make fun of Bill Belichick?
We're going to do that right after 4 o'clock.
I think right after 4 o'clock.
Okay, because there's more and more stuff popping up, and I got to let it out. This
I think the score that they ran up on them is about her age.
Couldn't even score enough points to get
double,
the difference between
double,
the two.
It's double her age.
Even worse.
Yeah. Nobody has ever scored that many points on a Bill Belichick coach team in his entire coaching history.
You know what I said to him during the break, Sam?
Yeah.
I said, it's not going to be the distraction with the 20-something and the gold digger. It's not going to be all of that side stuff that tanks his career. That stuff is going to be the icing on the cake of the loss. You start losing. Like, I feel like maybe there would be some grace given if it was anybody else that didn't have all the side baggage. But you add the losing to all of the side baggage, and it's over.
Oh, and that side baggage was prominently featured during the game. Thank you to the UNC fans.
Was it? Did you see the... One of the camera guys zoomed in. I mean, by this point in the game, it's over. It's a home game. They zoomed in on some kid on TV, and he just gives the middle finger.
Middle finger. It was so good.
Dan Weinbaum has the news coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.